Hey everyone, I'm trying to get to TwitchCon 2018 this year, but I need your help. How, you may be asking? Well, every little bit counts, and we're trying to offset the cost of travel and accommodations through donations on our Twitch channel. So for the next month, we have a goal of $1,000 that we're trying to hit. If you can, head on over to donate.gamertagradio.com to support, and hopefully I'll see you at TwitchCon.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 801 here. This is Danny speaking, and we also have the whole Gamertag Radio crew, Pete and Paris. What's going on, guys? What's up?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Tired, man. Slept last night. Late.
Oh, yeah.
Watching the fight and the press conference after that. Yeah, it was crazy last night. That was crazy, the UFC fight.
No, yeah, that fight last night, that was Khabib put that Thanos two-piece on him, so just like I thought he would.
Yeah. What are your predictions, though? Do you think they're going to have a rematch, or they're going to just, like...
Because Connor literally just tweeted out, you know, good knock, looking forward to the rematch. It's too much money not to, unless Khabib just walks away. I'm 27-0, I beat Connor, I'm good, I'm out, which I don't think is going to happen. Honestly, Ferguson should get the fight and not Connor, but Connor's more money.
Yeah, I don't see that happening as a ploy from Khabib. He even said it in last night's press conference. He's not content with just this victory. He wants to, quote-unquote, change the game in general. He wants it to stop being about this WWE-type showmanship and loud talk smack. Now he wants things to be settled in the ring, you know, old school. And so you said, man, I'm happy that Conor got them hands put on him, dude. I'm glad. I don't know if it'll humble him because – He was gassed and passed after that third round.
I'll say this. If you go back to when he fought Nate the first time and Nate tapped, you know, made him tap in the second round, he was very humble going into the second fight. So I think he'll be humble. But if he beats Khabib in the second fight, he'll never shut up ever. Right. But it was good. Look, I was saying the whole time, don't talk trash about a man that still lives with his mama, because you're going to catch them hands every time. And that's exactly what happened.
That's true. Yeah. That is true, man.
Yeah, dude. You do not talk about someone's family in the manner that he went after Khabib's dad and his brother. You do not do. You leave all of that other stuff outside. But, you know, you could talk about the man. You could talk about his training style and his hat and all that. Once you start talking family and religion and all that, it changes, and I don't want the show to turn into UFC, you know, post fight talk. So we can move on after this. But he came in a different way from his other fights. He actually, you know, his group was saying that he had anger, and they even said it. This isn't just about a UFC fight. This is actually personal now between the two of them. So I hope, for the sake of the sport, that we don't see another instance like this. I think Stephen A. mentioned that this is akin to Malice in the Palace from back in the day with the Pacers, with, you know, Steven Jackson and Ron Artest and them jumping into the crowd and fighting and punching people. This is definitely going to be a black eye for the sport.
P, I know you're traveling to TwitchCon. Any updates, man? Because I know there's a couple of our listeners have been supporting us.
Oh, yeah.
So far.
If you're watching on Twitch, I've got a goal set up. You can go ahead and click. Go to gamertag.com or gamertagradio.com. Or if you're watching it on the stream, you can go ahead and click one of the panels and it'll take you over there. Shout out to Cuddle Pudgeons. I know we don't typically do this, but shout out to Cuddle Pudgeons with the $100 donation yesterday. So, but yeah, trying to offset the cost of getting over to TwitchCon, man. And it's not cheap, but, you know, we appreciate anything and everything we get from our fans and our sponsors and our listeners. So thank you.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody that's been supporting us and donating. Good, man. I think it's going to be a good trip, man. So when is it, the TwitchCon? That's soon, right? That's like in a couple weeks.
Starts October 25th through the 28th. I will be on one panel. I'll be on the Lanterns in Gaming with a couple of people. One is actually like a wrestler or something like this. So, you know, we've all been chatting behind the scenes, coming up with, you know, our presentation deck and, you know, what we can and do for the Latin community. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely going to take me out of my comfort zone. I'm not going to be behind the camera. I'm going to be like live in front of people. So yeah, I'm stoked. I'm excited.
Yeah. My goal is I'm going to try to get this, as an audio and put it as a podcast to Pete at the panel. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. And actually I'm going to LA later this week. I'm going to be there for Hispanicize, going to be there for like a couple of days from Thursday all the way to Sunday. So whoever's in LA, hit me up. Definitely will, you know, try to hang out with everybody over there, man. So
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So let's start with the show here. Topic number one, and I think this is something that we've been talking about now for a couple months, but Project Stream from Google, they announced that they're going to test this out now. I think it's in beta right now, so you can sign up if you want for free, where you could actually play their first game, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, for free. I don't know if it's like a time limit or what, but you could actually stream this through Google Chrome. What are your thoughts about this, guys? Do you think this is going to be a success for Google or what? What are your thoughts about this whole Project Stream?
It's where it's all headed. I mean, we know Microsoft is going to do something similar, so I'm not surprised to see Google get out in front of this and start testing it out. This goes back to the rumors that we had from a few months ago that Google's looking to get into the gaming side of the business, and they're going to do it, you know, with their own hardware, doing cloud streaming. So why not? I say let's just get it going. It's going to happen. Obviously, Google has the infrastructure to support something like this. So let's see how it works. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think the difference between this streaming service versus PlayStation and Xbox, and even Nintendo, because they're doing that now in Japan, certain games, is everybody has Google Chrome. Everybody has it either through their mobile devices, tablet, or computer. So there's a chance that this could be a big hit. If more people find out about it, they are using Google Chrome, this is a great opportunity for them to actually try it out and play a game like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is a good game. And they even showed a video of how the game looks while using the service. And it looks great, man. It looks really, really good. The only issue that I have is, man, you have to have like a certain amount of like internet speed that is going to allow you to play this and without lag, you know? So, Pete, what'd you think, Pete, about this whole Project Stream from Google?
I almost signed up for it just to see what it would play like, but I've been putting in a lot of time on the PS4 version, and honestly, I don't want to have to go through all of that again. That being said, yeah. I think, as Paris said, if there's going to be a company with the infrastructure in place already that can support something like this, Google's absolutely at the top 1% of that capability. It's definitely future forward. I think that's where we're going to see things going in the future. I'm glad that there's companies that are pushing the envelope. I mean, we know Google's always been that type, right? They've always been the one that pushes the envelope and bleeding edge of technology. So I'm glad to see that we're actually broaching it. And I'm glad that, I mean, it's free, right? As a result.
Yeah. As of right now, it's free for the beta test. Right. Yeah.
So I think it's fantastic that we can, you know, that we're not really guinea pigs in a sense that we have to come out of pocket for a poor performing product, that Google is actually sponsoring this as for with a free ability to play just using the internet. I think it's fantastic. I like it.
Yeah, they have this service for the Nintendo Switch in Japan where you could play the latest Resident Evil game through streaming. And they also Ubisoft announced that they also going to have that game available for the Nintendo Switch in Japan as a streaming service too. So that's great over there. We could try to stream it from over here, but the lag is so bad that it's going to be a very horrible experience, you know. So, but this, I think, is going to be a better way for us to try it out, test it out, to see how it is. And honestly, do they even need a console if they are going to do it this way as a streaming service through the Google Chrome?
No, I mean, you just need a way to connect the controller. I mean, as long as you have that functionality, again, that's the whole point of being able to do the streaming. It would be a small footprint for the hardware. It doesn't need to be have like a powerful processor or anything like that. So, yeah, you would think even their current like Google Chromecast, as an example, potentially could be used, you know, to stream this. So, again, we'll see. Again, I'm all for it. I'm all for it because it's going to happen whether we like it or not. We're going to have cloud streaming games. Google's doing it. Microsoft's doing it. Sony's already doing it. Let's go. I'd rather some of the smartest people on the planet commit to want to do it, and Google and Microsoft, so that we know if it's going to be possible, one of them's going to be the ones, right? That's going to do it, if not both of them. So the fact, like Pete said, you know, Google is open, basically doing an open beta test with this, not an open, but doing a beta test with this and selecting people, and you don't have to pay a dime. You're just testing it so they can get the infrastructure right. Do it. Perfect.
Now let's talk about Forza Horizon 4, which I'm going to be straight up with you guys. I can't stop playing the game. I can't. I've been playing it now nonstop with friends, with our GTR community. We were playing nonstop. Actually, I was reading that the last game, Forza Horizon 3, that game actually sold over 9 million copies during that time. Now, with this one, I believe Forza Horizon 4, the Ultimate Edition, which allows you to play the game early on a Friday, that one sold over 500,000, I think, just that weekend. But then when the Game Pass version came out, and also the regular version came out, that you could buy that in stores too, the amount of people that are actually playing doubled compared to the launch of Forza Horizon 3, which is freaking dope, man. I think that's great news, man, for fans of Forza, man, that there's a lot of people playing this, man, from Game Pass service and also from people buying it in stores, man. So I don't know, Paris, if you had a chance to actually play this game, because I know I've been playing with Pete now for a couple of days. What are your thoughts about this news and just the game overall, in your opinion, man?
I've not played it to any degree to really give an opinion, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I have the PC version that I have, you know, dabbled in a little bit. I mean, it looks beautiful, amazing. Being able to play it at 4K and 60 on my PC is just buttery smooth. But this news is great. I mean, Forza Horizon 4 is, to me, you know, I know some people disagree with this, but seeing all the things that you can do, and it's basically just giving you this open world sandbox, you know, be able to race. Obviously, you know, people tweeting at me, my drivatar running people off the road all the time, stuff like that. I mean, is great. So this is, you know, and I know everyone's not a racing fan, but we always scream Microsoft doesn't have that exclusive game that will make you want to pick up an Xbox and play. This is about as close as they've gotten in the life of the Xbox One, in my opinion. Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this is great. Goes to show you how great of a developer Playground Games is, which they may or may not be working on Fable. It looks fantastic. This is definitely a crowning achievement for that studio, what they've done with Horizon 4.
And what about you, Pete? Because you started playing it. I know the first time that we got together online, you had to like unlock certain things, so in order for you to play with us. But now that you have everything unlocked, how's it been your experience so far with Forza? And what are your thoughts about this game being successful, man, with you know, adding Game Pass in there and everything else, man?
I've been drinking Kool-Aid all this week because I did not expect for me to actually jump into Forza Horizon in any way, shape, or form. And so I've had a lot of fun. I think it was – I like the way that They force you to spend a considerable amount of time going through all the different race types in order to acquire enough influence so that you can join your friends. So it's not just immediately jumping into, you know, a race and then you're just poor performing and you have a bad time. So that being said, it's a hell of a ride. I still don't agree with your, it's the destiny of racing games or whatever, what that comment you said. But I definitely,
I could tell you why.
I understand the concept afterwards. I'm having a blast. I mean, we played it last night. We played it the night before, you know, I've been out on, you know, on a work trip for the last week. So I really haven't done a lot of gaming, but the time that I have been playing, I mean, my game was on almost all day yesterday. So it's a hoot nanny. it's been a blast. I mean, just having all of that and with almost every game, when you have that experience of playing with people, as opposed to you're just sitting there by yourself. Although Forza Horizon 4 is definitely that one title that you could sit there, just pump the music and go and just disappear into the game. It definitely has that quality. But the fact that I'm able to jump in with you, with, you know, with Beaker and Mandy and David and all that, and we're all running around as a big convoy, whether we're doing group races or we're doing individual stuff on our own. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. And that Forzathon event, that 3-round Forzathon event where we're going our club against everybody else and trying to score and make things, it's been a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun playing the game. And yes, yeah, Paris's Drivatar tries to fight everybody and knock everybody off the road. That is true.
See?
Yeah, he's an evil Drivatar, man.
Is realistic. It's good. I taught it well.
No. Look, man, still, I think that tweet that I posted a couple days ago, that I feel like this is the destiny of open world racing games. I still believe it is, man, because I'm not talking when I mention that, I'm not talking about like story and whatever. I'm talking about more of like co-op experience, the end game, which you guys always talk about. Just everything. I think playing with friends. You know, I the other day we were playing with our GTR community. I invited like a bunch of people, 12 people actually, at the same time from our GTR car club. Make sure to join for those that have the game. Forza Horizon 4, if you unlock the club section, just search for Gamertag Radio and you could join. I think right now we have like 60 or so people. It's dope. That's the reason why I mentioned that on Twitter. And everybody's like, man, what the hell are you talking about? And everybody started talking about like DLCs and, you know, Bungie and charging people extra for content. I wasn't even talking about that. I'm talking about more of the experience, the co-op experience, public events, all that stuff, man. I think, and I have to agree with Paris, man. I think this is the best game that Microsoft has had so far as an exclusive for the Xbox One. This is the game, I think, man. Better than Halo, better than any other game that came out since the launch of Xbox One. You know, and I think this is the future's looking great, man, with Playground, because if they supposedly working out on this Fable game, you can imagine an open world RPG game developed by Playground Games. Oh my God, that's gonna be freaking amazing! Oh, and I think we talked about this during the last episode, actually 2 episodes ago, that they hired a bunch of developers now working on an open world RPG game.
Yeah,
so and that's
my be concern very though is that they don't lose focus on Forza 4. That the same thing happens to them that happens with a lot of other developers, maybe even Telltale being one of them. And we saw what happened with them, where they get spread too thin, right? We hope, at least in my personal opinion, I hope that they don't lose focus or lose sight of the end goal with the Forza title, and they're able to continue to play, you know, they're able to continue to develop and iterate for that, while also, you know, handling duties on whatever this new quadruple A title, according to Microsoft, that they're working on in secrecy.
This is your first Horizon game?
No. I played a little bit of 3. I got a car and like 3 different things because of the Forza loyalty program in game. So that was really cool. And yes, I'm playing on Game Pass. I ripped, you know, opened up my card. I had one left over after giving out the last one to one of our listeners last week. And I said, you know what, if there's going to be a title that forces me to unlock that 12-month, it was going to be Forza. You know, and I'm glad I did. I'm having a lot of fun. It's a great change of pace. Let's put it that way. From everything else. I mean, you know, from between 100% at Spider-Man. Woo! You know, doing Assassin's Creed. Obviously, the PUBG and the Battle Royale stuff that I'm always doing. Having a game like this, and I know you have your preferred radio station, but I put it on Hospital Records, and I just let the drum and I just let the drum and bass go and just disappear into the racing, dude. It's so much fun.
Yeah. No, honestly, I'm liking Hospital more than any other radio station in the game.
Telling you, dude, man, drum and bass gets going, dope. Dude, man. Once that's
and I think it's a perfect soundtrack. Because it gets you hype, right? Gets you excited. So if you're playing with a headset and you're racing, dude, this is like the perfect soundtrack, man. You know what I'm saying? So
it's funny. I've contemplated dual installing it and moving the Xbox One S to my living room so I can listen to it on the Sonos. I can just imagine how good it's gonna sound there if it sounds good here on these headphones. Dope. So yeah, it's the thought has crossed my mind.
Before we go to the next topic, Pete, I think you don't have to worry about Playground games when it comes to like them adding content for like Forza Horizon 4, because they always been good at that, man. There's people that I've been talking to that are part of the GTR car club, you know, because I play Forza Horizon in the past a lot, but there's other listeners that they play, I'm talking about 2 years straight, nonstop, and they're but Playground, they're always adding content in the game, man. That's one thing about them that they have never been messing up. They're always adding content. So as an owner of Forza Horizon, I think you're going to have a great experience until the next game, you know, until the next Horizon game comes out. So good, man. Good, good. Now, I want to talk to Paris about this, man, because we had this conversation, over the phone about CD Projekt Red. Actually, Paris is excited for what's the name of the car game of Paris from CD Projekt Red?
Quint.
That's coming out now, I think. Quint, right?
The single player portion of that, the RPG, is Thronebreaker, which will be out on the 23rd. But yeah, it's Gwent. Mm-hmm. It's Gwent. Like you battle doing the Gwent cards, and obviously Gwent proper is the multiplayer component of it, which will also come out of beta on the 23rd as well. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for it.
So during our conversation, we were talking about CD Projekt Red, we brought up The Witcher and so on, and then I asked him, like, hey, have you heard about this, like the author of The Witcher, that he's demanding now I believe like over $16 million from CD Projekt Red? Because the story that I've been told is that he sold, I think, the rights to the story of The Witcher to CD Projekt Red, but like super cheap, because he was like, this thing is not going to be successful. Whatever. Let's just sell it to them. But then the game became super successful, especially 3. And now he's demanding a lot more money from them now after selling the rights to them. So I know, Paris, I know you know more about this whole crazy news. Can you tell us more about that? And do you think that he has a chance to get this money from CD Projekt Red?
No, he has no chance, because CD Projekt Red, like they've already done in the past with when some hackers got in and got some old assets for CD Projekt Red for Cyberpunk and tried to hold it ransom, CD Projekt Red was like, oh yeah. And they basically just posted all the ransom note and everything on the front page of their website, because they're not going to bow down to those demands. Same with this, he's threat. Basically what the original author is doing, and you've already kind of outlined it, he gave away the rights to The Witcher for pennies on the dollar, right? Because he didn't think anything was going to happen with this IP, because it was only popular in Poland. I mean, it wasn't like this valuable IP, right? So he basically gave it away for nothing. And he's trying to sue now because he's trying to say that CD Projekt Red went above and beyond the original agreement with all the DLCs and, like, we're talking Thronebreaker and Gwent and all this stuff. So he's saying, because you're doing even more with it, now I'm owed this amount of money. And CD Projekt Red is basically like, an agreement is agreement. No. And my personal opinion on this is he's trying to double dip. He's trying to cash in on that. So he gets his $16 million. And it's also been reported out there that CD Projekt Red wants to just buy the Witcher IP from him outright. They want to own it clear cut, 100%. So give me this money. And then, oh, then I'll negotiate with you again so that you can buy the IP outright. So that's kind of what's happening here. It's a lot of posturing going on. I don't know the specifics of the contract, but it doesn't sound like he really has a case. And this guy, from what I've read so far, is an a-hole. And you're like he's just an angry, ornery old man. But, and I guess he said, well, this is a year ago or 2 years ago, he was praising CD Projekt Red for what they've done with The Witcher. And now he's kind of backtracking it all because he wants money. That's really all this comes down to. So
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost sounds as if he might have someone in his ear or something like that. It just, that's the way mm-hmm. it seems. When he originally signed his deal with CDPR, it was for a flat rate and not like a percentage point.
Which, and that was part of it.
Standard and customary is a percentage point. He, because of his low faith in the ability for CDPR to actually be successful with this, you know, he basically screwed himself. So,
I mean, think of it this way. CD Projekt Red did originally offer him a percentage, like Pete is saying. He didn't have faith. He just wanted all the money he could get up front because he didn't think, oh, they're not going to make no money off of this. I'm not taking a percentage. And now, hindsight, I should have taken the percentage. Give me money. That's right. All this really is.
And so the letter from the attorney actually says something to the effect of, you were supposed to give us, it was supposed to be only for one title, not for all of the subsequent ones. So basically saying it was only supposed to be for The Witcher, the original Witcher game, nothing for Witcher 2 or Witcher 3, all the downloadable content, Thronebreaker and Gwent later on. You know, and anything else going on now, the movie and et cetera, TV show, et cetera, for Netflix. So, yeah, I think there's somebody in this guy's ear saying, hey, man, you got shafted, not realizing that he shafted himself on the whole thing. But we shall see. I think if anything, I think CDPR should just throw a boatload of money at him and say, shut up, give me the complete rights. And let us go do our thing and go live off of this bag of money that you're going to get.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I think it's smart. I think everybody wins in that perspective. Because it's not really like CDPR is doing anything else. They're just iterating on the concept of The Witcher. It's not like they're actually taking things from the story or the stories written by Sapkowski at all. They're just taking components or theories of the lore and just creating their own universe, kind of like it's almost like Infinite Crisis for DC, where it's the multiverse for The Witcher. So I think it would make sense for them to just give him a boatload of cash and say, look, we're just going to own the IP outright and you can go fishing on your own 85-foot yacht for the rest of your life for all we care.
Well, let's talk about now the Red Dead Redemption. You guys got to watch the second gameplay video that Rockstar released a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah, it looks really good. Holy crap. You got to see it, P, or no?
Yes, I did. I watched it on my phone at the hotel. And I'm impressed, dude. Hey, it's Rockstar.
It's so good, man. Holy crap.
It's Rockstar.
Now, when we heard that Rockstar has a deal with PlayStation, marketing deal, I was thinking, man, it's probably going to be similar to like Destiny. They're probably going to have like content story-wise that is only going to be available there, maybe for like certain amount of time, and then it's going to come out for the Xbox and so on. So I was like, man, you know what? If it's like that, I'm probably going to get the PlayStation version just because of that. You know, I think they always had great relationship in the past with PlayStation. And also, if you think about it too, in the past, Rockstar did the same thing with Microsoft, for one of their Grand Theft Auto games, they had a certain amount of like exclusive content that it was DLC for the Xbox 360. So I was like, all right, that's going to look good. But this time, it's not like that. Just a couple of days ago, Rockstar just finally announced what type of exclusive content that's going to be available now for Red Dead Redemption 2. And it's only, you know, guns and skins that is only time exclusive for PlayStation 4 owners, and then it's going to come out for the Xbox One a month later after that. So I was like, you know what? Just get whatever version. I think it doesn't really matter now like that. So what do you guys think about this? And is this also going to push you to buy the PlayStation 4 version?
No.
Or are you guys going to stick with Xbox?
No. Nope? I'm going to get the Xbox version. It's probably the first time I've chosen a third party game where I say I'm just going to get an Xbox and not PlayStation. It's going to be, you know, full true 4K, all that. I, in my opinion, we'll see what when Digital Foundry comes out, because I'm not going to get it right at launch because I just have way too many other games to be playing, so I might as well hold off. But I think the Xbox One X version will be the definitive version of Red Dead Redemption as far as just, you know, visuals, gameplay, smooth issues, the whole thing. So I most likely will get that version unless they announce the PC version's coming in January. Then I might wait, but I don't think they will. I don't think we see the PC version until fall of 2019, personally. So I'll probably get it in probably like December or something. I'll probably pick up Red Dead.
I seem to recall getting lambasted on this show by the two of you for saying until PC.
That still stands. Yeah, and that still stands because for exactly what I just said. They're not going to put it out for a year. Okay, look. If it comes out in January, yes. And yeah, you should probably wait too. You ain't waiting until October next year. I will put cash money. Cash money, you don't. Yeah. Cash money, you will get it before then.
Yeah. And Pete, let's be real. You are going to buy the console version. You're not going to wait. Let's be real.
I don't know, man. I've been saying it since
you're going to wait a year.
This is day one. I don't know.
So, okay.
We'll see.
So I'm going to get.
See.
I will post the Squidward looking out the window at SpongeBob and Patrick having fun meme because that's going to be you. If you, I'm going to wait a year. You're not going to wait a year. No way. No freaking way.
That's true. Yeah. You know, especially you start reading the reviews and that story, right? And then a couple of weeks later, you hear people talking about the beta online. Pete, you're not going to wait. There's no way you're going to wait for a year.
You know what, Danny? That's what's going to get them. When Red Dead Online and we're doing train heists, you know, as a posse and all that stuff and robbing banks, he's going to be just, I'm getting the Squidward meme for sure. Yep. He's just going to be sitting there looking out the window like, I want to do this. But because I was flapping my gums on the podcast and said I want to wait, I can't do
it. I got to stick to my guns, bro. Yeah. I got to stick to my guns.
listeners, so let's put in your calendar. Let's see how many days Pete will last without buying Red Dead Redemption
2. But to be fair to Pete, if they were to say early next year PC version, mm-hmm. I'd wait. I would. For me.
That's but the thing. Not, who but knows? Not, we don't hey, know. Hey, we don't even hey, know. They're being so quiet on it. We don't know when they're going to release it.
But they're not going to do that. That's my point.
I have something to say because I know a couple of days ago I was saying like, man, I'm going to buy part of the physical version, all this stuff.
Here comes the moonwalk, folks.
Yo, yeah, man. The more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm like, I think that's not going to work, man.
Here comes the moonwalk, folks.
But see, I admit it. At least I admit it, man. I'm not like P, like, nah, man, I'm going to wait. Hey, look, I'm being real. Look, at the moment when I was talking to you, Pete, about buying the physical version, I was just saying, man, 105 gigs, that's a lot. You know, I don't want to be waiting. It's about space. Yo, my brother, I had this conversation with my brother the day. I was at his house, and we'll talk about Red Dead. And he's like, yo, I don't have no space. I only have like a certain amount of games right now. He only has like Halo, Fortnite, Forza Horizon 4. And yo, you see his 500 gig Xbox One S, it's like 90%. He's like, yo, I need to buy a hard drive for this game, man. Like 105 gigs, that's a lot, man. That's a lot. even if he buys the physical version, he still has he needs a hard drive. So it's like, oh man, this sucks, man. This sucks. So yeah, I don't know.
Look, you were saying that, and I was in the stream when you were saying that, losing my mind. I go, dude, you're not. Why are you getting a physical copy? This makes no. Your reasoning makes zero sense. Because here's the thing: if you're a collector, I get it. Fine, you like the physical copies, but like Pete kept saying, you still have to install the game on the hard drive. You're not. You can preload. Yeah. Buying the physical copy does not save you any time from being able to play the game. It doesn't.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Let me live, man.
Let me live.
Dream, man. It's 105 gigs. It's a lot. Oh my God. Yo, honestly, I think I have to like delete a couple things, man. I don't know.
It's not a big deal though, man. You can delete content and the cloud saves. You can re-download it at your leisure.
Yeah.
And then you'll just recontinue where you were at when you download your cloud saves. It's not that big of a deal though.
It's just the process, man. Look, man, to you guys, it's like, oh, it's great. But yo, sometimes I get a lot of games, man. And, sometimes I don't want to download them, man. That's all. It's just a process. And honestly, dude, like honestly speaking, I feel bad for those that has that data cap. Like for them, they need to buy the physical version. There's no way they're gonna download this, and then the whole month is already over with their data because of a game like that.
And what you're saying actually does suck for people that have data caps and all that, because that full 105 gigs is not on the disc. It's not. Maybe half.
Oh.
So you're still downloading them, but you're still downloading probably about half the game when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
yeah.
But this is where we are with gaming, though. This is what happens with, you know, the 4K assets and that whole thing. So you kind of have, and I guess we should be clear about that. When we talk about 105 gigs, we're talking about the 4K version of the game. So if you're on the regular PS4 or Xbox 54. One, yeah, 50, it's half that size. So,
like that.
And that's the physical disc, right? But if you're trying to play on a 1X or a Pro, it's going to download all those 4K assets. That's where it's all coming from, you know? So,
yeah.
You just got to keep, you know, so that does suck for people with data caps. Again, in the United States, a whole nother discussion, but yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks big time. It sucks.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is sponsored by Nighthawk Pro Gaming from Netgear, rated 2018's top performing gaming router by PC Gamer and IGN. There's no question that online gaming demands a stable and low latency connection. Running multiple connected devices will cause network congestion that most gateways simply can't handle. Switching your existing gateway or router to an XR500 gaming router will improve your online connectivity. It's the easiest way to improve your online gaming experience, and it has the biggest impact. I can actually attest to this. I've had one for about 3 weeks now, and literally no issues. I've actually seen performance gains across the board, whether it's on local LAN or wireless connectivity here in my house. You shouldn't have to compete with other online devices for bandwidth. Save the competition for the game. The XR500 router creates an express lane just for your gaming to give you incredible speed and no lag. With this high-performance gaming router, you have complete control of your gaming experience. The XR500 is purpose-built to lower your ping, stabilize your connection, and help you game at incredible speeds. So keep your game alive with features like geo-filtering, traffic prioritization, and device management. The Nighthawk Pro Gaming Router transforms your gaming experience and give you the power to win. Visit netgear.com/NPG and learn how you can join the no lag crew.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
What we have here? Oh, let's talk about Assassin's Creed Odyssey, man. Been playing that now for a while, and it is kind of hard for me.
Can I start it off? Because you and Pete could be talking a lot, and I won't. I've only recently started playing on the PC version. And I'll just say this again. I feel like don't have enough information to give a fair opinion either way. So I will simply say this. I'm playing it on PC. Oh, dude, freaking looks fantastic. It really does. It's an amazing looking game in 4K. I'm playing as Cassandra because why wouldn't you, in my opinion? That to me, that's the character to play as. I'm enjoying it. I really am. I do think what PC Gamer said, and I had said this last year with Origins, I think them comparing it to The Witcher 3, no. I'm not going to say that. Even early on. The one critique I will say early on is a lot of the voice acting and story stuff feels a little stilted to me. But the actual gameplay and the action and the things that you're doing are fantastic. Oh my God, Odyssey looks huge. There's so much to do. Again, this is why I barely played fours and all that. It's like I even was telling Danny, I legit have to take Destiny 2 and just put it on the shelf for a few weeks and not play that game at all because I'll never get through all this stuff that's going to trying to play Odyssey. Got to play Forza, you know. Red Dead obviously is coming. Even like I said, I'd wait on that. There's other, you know, blackout modes coming for Call of Duty, you know, this week. Oh, there's just so many games. But back to the point of Odyssey, looks fantastic. I'm not ready to put this on the same pedestal as The Witcher 3. I still say The Witcher 3 is the gold standard from what I've seen so far. But yes, they have improved on Origins for sure. But I'm also going to say, and I know this is where people are going to get mad at me, I still would have rather played this game in 2019 and not 2018, personally. I still wish they would have let Assassin's Creed breathe than put this game a year out. But I can already tell, like I said, the improvements over Origins. I get it. I just don't think we needed this game this year. Just my two cents.
Well, yeah, and I have to agree, man. I think this is a better game than Origins. I think the reason why I like Origins a lot is because maybe the theme of the whole game, you know, ancient Egypt and all that. That's the cool thing about that. So, and look, man, when I got to hear about Assassin's Creed at E3, they announced it. They even had it the game playable. Paris was the one that actually got to play the game during the preview event. I was like, meh, whatever, you know. But getting the game hands on for the first time at the preview event, that completely changed my mind. I was like, yo, this game is legit, man. This is dope. I love the concept. I love where you could play as a male or female character. I went with Cassandra too. I think she's like a dope character. I don't know who's the voice actress for Cassandra in the game, but man, she did a phenomenal job, man, so far. I like that. I like that this game, compared to other previous Assassin's Creed, this one is a lot of grinding, man. It's not an easy game. It's not an easy game. But once you figure out what to do in the game, you're gonna enjoy it. I think it's worth the $59.99 purchase, big time. I do like that it's a mix of Origins and a little bit of Black Flag too, in there too. I like that part. What else? Also, one thing that it's challenging, but at the same time, it is annoying too, is in the game there's bounties that, let's say you're in a castle, you're trying to kill like a certain amount of people and the leader, you know, then if they start calling for help, they're going to be hiring bounties, and their bounties are going to be after you the whole time, man. It gets really tough after a while. And yeah, I think I'm really, really enjoying the game, man. It's dope. Like, I wish I could put more time because, you know, I'm playing other games too. But I think this week I'm going to stay focused on just this game a lot more, Assassin's Creed. And I love the Easter eggs too. I don't want to mention it here, but the Easter eggs is pretty dope too, man. So, Pete, what about you, man? You're liking Odyssey or what? You're playing the PlayStation 4 version. I'm playing the Xbox One X.
Yeah, Paris playing on the PC. PlayStation 4. I have to say, having played it at the pre-Gamescom event, where you're thrust into high-level character, you know, where I was playing as Cassandra then, I'm playing as Cassandra now, You're thrust into the game with minimal setup and practice and comfort level with the layouts and what the functionality is. You lose a lot of that. And for me, it kind of tainted my expectation for Odyssey. Growing up as a kid, I loved Greek mythology. And so finally seeing Greek mythology actually being represented here, like, got me excited, you know. And it's not just, you know, whether it be the Medusa fight that everybody already knows about, things like that. Obviously, you've got the history of the Spartans versus the Athenians and all that. That whole genre has always fascinated me. And they did an amazing job with this. There are some visual things that kind of bother me, and that might just be me personally nitpicking things. Like, and I like I said, I picked Cassandra, but there's things where, like, maybe the body seems a little oversized for the character, but maybe that's just because she's an amazing warrior and she, like, you can't be, you know, razor thin. You've got to be kind of beefy. But there's just some, like, body to the head scaling issues. Like, it almost feels like she's, you know, I don't know. And again, it might just be me nitpicking. You mentioned the ship, you know, on the water ship stuff. Right now, I think they blew Black Flag out the water. Maybe it was that particular studio that helped them with that, but probably the best, might be my favorite part of the game right now. The on the water ship combat, that's been amazing. When I finally got to the title screen, I hadn't realized how long I had been playing. You usually expect
my same reaction.
Yeah, you same usually reaction, expect yeah. that early on, but by the time that when that thing finally popped up, I was just like,
"Wait, that was a tutorial? That
was an intro?" Exactly. I was like, "Holy, you got to be kidding me! That's amazing." That being said, when I got to the main storyline about the characters, when that popped off, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, so amazing job on the story. So I'm almost hesitant to want to participate in these pre-launch events because, like I said, you're thrust into these games with no practice, no tutorial. Like, you've like when I went to the pre-Gamescom event, it was like a fully maxed out, like, level 30 Cassandra fighting Medusa. And I'm just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. This is almost too difficult. But having gone through that 4-hour tutorial, I'm comfortable with it. I know how to do things. I know how to dodge. I know how to evade. I know how to do the parry. I'm comfortable with those things. So, hey, shout out to Ubisoft. I think they've done a phenomenal job with this. I am in the same boat with Paris, and I agree. We could have gone a little bit longer between actually having this title released. My opinion, we could have had this in 19, and it would have been okay. It would have had plenty of time for Ubisoft to iterate on Origins, because they deserve that shine. They deserve that extended marination period with gamers. But, hey, you got to give it up to Ubi, dude. They've done a phenomenal job with this title.
Can I say one thing on what you just mentioned with the whole 2019? I have a theory on why this game came out now instead of 2019. Because
dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh, here it goes.
Because 19, they've already made it clear we're not getting an Assassin's Creed game. Great. Mm-hmm. 2020 is next gen. That's the new consoles. I think they want Assassin's Creed to take a break before they reintroduce it for next gen. That's what I think. I think we'll see. It'll be like Black Flag, where that Assassin's Creed in 2020 will be on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but it will also be on Xbox Scarlet and PlayStation 5. I think that's why they're doing this.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Do you think that doing so, once the new generation of consoles comes out, they'll return back to the year-on-year iteration, or they'll stick with giving it time in between?
Well, you know my thought. I hope they don't, but I'm worried they will. Because let's also remember, Origins and Odyssey were being developed at the same exact time, and actually Odyssey got an extra year than Origins. Mm-hmm. Which again, I know this is, look, Odyssey's great. If you're in Assassin's Creed, absolutely, I would recommend picking this up. This is the definitive version of what of the direction that they've taken Odyssey now, making a full-blown RPG. It's great. But I really wish Ubisoft would slow down with this, especially with the size and scope of what they're doing now with Assassin's Creed. This game is huge. I don't need another Assassin's Creed for a couple years after this. I really don't, you know? So it's like, do that. Go all out with this open world RPG version. Like, I want the next Assassin's Creed to be in Japan, and you know, it's just amazing. Just do that, and then let's not get another one to like 2022. I think that would be we'd all be happy with that. I think.
Well, back to the review. I think that there's in the game you could also select like certain stuff that. During a conversation similar to like Mass Effect, that it might change the story. That's what I thought. But honestly, I haven't seen anything drastic where I'm having a conversation with the character and let's say my response to them is like an angry response or something. Like I don't see any changes with the story just yet. Maybe there's going to be some moments that, yeah, the story is going to change, but the average person I've been talking to, like in different towns, I haven't seen any changes. So that's the only thing I'm kind of iffy about it. But I heard that the game has a lot of multiple endings. So once I finish the game, because I haven't completed it yet, but once I finish the game, let's see. I probably will go online and search to see if there's any other, like how many endings the game has, you know? So. Do you see any changes, Pete or Paris, depending on the response when you're talking to a character? Because we see the change in past games like Mass Effect and The Witcher, but I don't see that with this one.
Again, I'm probably just way too early, and I've not noticed anything.
Okay.
I can kind of see the similarities, especially because with Odyssey, they've switched up the way the game plays. It's more of an RPG with a lot of action. So I can see where people, because like Paris said, The Witcher 3 is the bar with which all future RPG games, action RPG games are going to be compared against. So yeah, there's going to be that comparison, I think, especially when you have a massive AAA franchise like Assassin's Creed, especially now that they're doing that shift. I wouldn't say so much as it is a direct comparison or a direct competitor, but I could see people saying it's Witcher adjacent.
All right, so that's a review of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Make sure to pick it up, and we have one more topic before we have a report before we talk about fan mail here. But there's a rumor. This is from the Wall Street Journal that Nintendo is planning for a new version of Nintendo Switch sometime next year. I believe summer of 2019. Right now, they're trying to figure out like what to do. What should we make it like a bigger screen, smaller, more powerful? What right now is not 100% what they want. They don't know what they want just yet. But you guys, as Nintendo Switch owners, what you would like to see in the new version once it comes out next year in 2019.
I think bigger battery is what everybody wants, right? They want to play more with, you know, without having to be docked. I think it's probably the preferred way of people playing on the Switch. Mm-hmm. Personally, I kind of prefer it being on the dock on the TV with a pro controller in my hand. But I think battery life, maybe an edge to edge screen would be the second want from me, bigger screen. But you know, obviously, when you start doing that, you start inhibiting the portability of it because now it becomes a much larger device, a heavier device. If we want more battery, it's going to be a much heavier device. But yeah, I mean, from the actual console itself, if you could expand the screen out so that there isn't as much of a border, I think that would help. But aside from that, I mean, It's really, really difficult to iterate and improve on what they've already released.
So it's kind of like a 3DS XL, like a bigger version.
That, I guess you could something say like that. I guess bigger, you could say that. It's basically saying, screen. You know, if you can expand that screen to something a little bit larger. Yeah, like I'm looking at mine and like, you know, you've got, you know, the outline of it. You've got maybe an inch on either side of the actual Switch itself. If you could expand the screen outwards to the edges, I think that would be amazing.
And what about you, Paris?
Yeah, I'm right in line with Pete. Number one on the list is better battery life. Number two would be, you know, upgrading the screen somewhat. But like he said, if you went edge to edge, I mean, now we're, again, remember, kids are handling this thing. Nintendo's smart enough to make these things semi-durable, so they probably wouldn't do an edge-to-edge thing, but I could see them making the screen a little bigger, maybe. And then, like I said, battery's number one to me. I also think a lot of people took this news and overreacted to it because they feel like, oh, Nintendo's coming out with a completely new console, as if your current games are not going to work on the new one and vice versa. They always do this. Look at Nintendo's track record with their portable devices. After a couple years, they make an upgrade to it, but all your games still work. You're fine. Your choice if you want to buy it or not. And this just gives people more incentive to keep buying the Switch because now it's a better battery screen and all that. And hardcore people might trade in their old one and go buy the new one. I got some travel coming up here pretty soon with some long flights, and I'm already panicking trying to figure out, do I need to get another battery pack, you know, to make sure I'm good on the plane, you know, when I'm with the Switch, because I'm for sure going to be taking it with me playing some games. So yeah, number one, the battery. I think that's the best thing they could do. Is upgrade the battery and just make it even more portable than it already is.
Better kickstand.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that. The kickstand, horrible, man. I use the kickstand from the Switch charger that I have. That's what I use. But interesting that nobody has mentioned anything about power, because the 3DS, they have the new Nintendo release a version that's the new 3DS. Has better battery life, bigger screen. But one thing that's better from that version and the previous 3DS version is that this one is also more powerful. So none of us mentioned anything about power. So
well, you just did. Go for it, buddy. What do you think?
I'm just saying.
Talk specs. Come on, talk to me about the Tegra specs. Let's go.
No, but for me, I don't really care about the power stuff. I know a lot of the content creators have been bringing that up a lot, but I think, to me, like you guys said, man, the battery life, I think that's important. Maybe better storage, bigger storage. The stand, I really don't care much about the whole power thing. But I can see why it is important for Nintendo to have a powerful version than the previous one.
So. I disagree with you on that. In this sense, again, if you look at Nintendo's track record, they typically... Well, I shouldn't say typically. They didn't do this with the 3DS until very late in the 3DS's life cycle. The first couple iterations of the 3DS, they didn't change the power on it at all. I wouldn't expect them to do this with the Switch unless, and again, I don't think they're going to do this, unless they're going to make the next Switch more powerful so that the resolution when it's portable can be closer to 1080p. We all play with the Switch. I'm not screaming for it. I don't need it. I feel like it's fine. They're going to be able to increase battery life and charge the same price by keeping the current tech specs of the Switch the same than they would if now they're adding more memory to it, or they're putting a better processor or a GPU in it. That just adds more cost to what they're trying to do. Like I said, in my opinion, and who knows what the hell Nintendo's going to do. In my opinion, I don't think they're going to do a power boost to it. Like we said, I think they're going to focus on bigger battery, bigger screen. Because and like, you know, breaking the fourth wall with the Twitch chat, maybe potentially make bigger Joy-Cons, the controllers bigger, maybe, you know, which wouldn't really break any compatibility things. It's just more of an ease of use thing. Because if I do have a complaint about the Switch, you know, I got these freaking giant dinosaur hands. I really wish they did have bigger Joy-Cons for me. I typically, when I'm using the Switch portable, if it at all possible, I use the Pro Controller. You know, like when I'm on a plane, I prop it up on the thing and I play with the Pro Controller, you know, versus the Joy-Cons. The Joy-Cons for me just my hands are just too big. It's just it's a more cramped thing. It's not as a relaxing of a gaming experience when I have to use Joy-Con.
Yeah. All right, so that's the conversation about a new Nintendo Switch for next year. So, but yeah, I heard that Nintendo's still trying to figure out. So let's see. We'll see next year, man. See what happens, man. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have two voicemails here that we're going to play. Pete, you would like to play the first one?
Here we go.
Hi, guys. It's Devin here. Just first off, want to say still enjoying the show. I know there's a comment in the past about you guys being too negative. I completely disagree with that. I think you guys are really balanced, and I love the debates. Moving on to my question or statement. Love to know your thoughts on PS5 backwards compatibility. For me, it's a day one purchase if they have it, and that must include crossplay with the PS4. That means I can bring my whole catalog over. I can start playing it probably with some enhancements in terms of performance and frames, etc. And I'll be a happy guy. If it doesn't come with that out of the box, I will not buy PS5 at launch. Full stop. That's it. Talking about the PSX cancellation, I have a theory about that, and I think they want to hold off on some announcements and roll everything together for a big reveal for the PS5, and I have a prediction that that's going to happen in Q1 of 2019, and I'm guessing it's probably going to be February, or at least at some point before E3. Love to know your thoughts on both of those points. Love you guys. All the best. Take care.
All right, thanks for calling in. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, who wants to start, man? Who wants to start with this? Well, he has a good point there.
Well, again, with the PS5 stuff and backwards compatibility, I've been telling you this for the longest. They don't have that. They're going to be in trouble going into the next gen because Microsoft is getting all their ducks in a row. They will not. It's funny. I watched a documentary someone put on YouTube about how the PlayStation got to where it was. So it went back to the whole 2013 fiasco with Microsoft. Microsoft's not going to do that again in 2020. They're not. So PlayStation wants to keep their market share. If they want to continue to be the leader, people are going to want to play their PlayStation 4 games on the PlayStation 5. There are way too many good freaking games on the PlayStation 4 right now to tell people in 2020 they need to immediately if they upgrade to the PlayStation 5, they got to keep their PS4s around. They're going to be upset about that. So at a minimum, PS4 games have to be playable on the PS5. And I'll go as far as to say, figure out the sell thing, whatever y'all got to do. But if they can get the whole back catalog in there, and I know they're playing around with the PlayStation now stuff, but to get PS3 games on the PS5 too would be a huge win for them. So yeah, to me, I think it's very important going into the next gen.
Man, I'm gonna stick with this, man. I think that no matter what they do, I think people are still gonna buy a PlayStation 5. I just, maybe a small percentage might change their minds. In my opinion, I'm not saying that I'm 100% right, but I feel like no matter what Sony announces, it's not going to change people's minds, man. If they say no, they're still going
to
buy it.
I will point you back to you saying the same exact words back in 2013 about Microsoft. And look how that worked. Mm-hmm. You said it about them. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. No, this was way
before. Because it's Microsoft.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Back in 2013, when Mandy and I were adamant, like, what the frick are they doing? This is a disaster. You're like, no, it's good. Everyone's still going to buy it. Everything's great. Blah, 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 blah. And then it tanked. And here we are. And you're basically saying it's not different. It's the same exact thing. Microsoft went
different.
Let me finish. Microsoft went into that generation as the leader, right? They got cocky and did stuff that people didn't want them to do. They were moonwalking all over the place, backtracking everything because their messaging sucked. Overpriced console, everything, right?
Yeah, it sucked.
You said it was okay. Oh, they're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. People are still going to buy it. Oh, Sunset Overdrive and everything else, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is if PlayStation goes into 2020 doing the same things, which backwards compatibility is going to be a big sticking point for that.
Yep.
It will be a repeat of 2013. That's all I'm saying.
I think that PlayStation fans, to me, it's like more, in my opinion, they're more hardcore than
now. Back in 2013, it was again, the same hardcore fans you're talking about now, they were all riding 360. Because that's who everything people were buying back then. This is the point I'm trying to make. Look, history has shown us console cycles change. Who the leader is changes depending on the mistakes of who was the leader of the previous generation. And we've seen Sony screw it up. We've seen Microsoft screw it up. We've seen Nintendo screw it up. They've all done it. Mm-hmm. Now, all I'm saying is and I'm not saying this is going to happen. What I'm saying is if PlayStation is arrogant, You want backwards compatibility, buy PlayStation now. The PlayStation 5 is $800 and Kaz Harai comes back and they do all this crazy stuff and they're messaging. People will be pissed and they'll go, oh, wow, look at what Microsoft's doing. I got Game Pass, Scarlet, I got the cloud thing. They're going to say it's reasonable price, all that. I'll just go get an Xbox this time. I think, yes, there is brand loyalty for sure. We see these crazy ass people on Twitter every day riding and dying for a piece of plastic. But what I am saying, the average consumer, when it comes down to spending their money, if they feel like they're not getting value for it, they will go to the competition where they think they're getting value. Because in 2013, we saw a PlayStation 4 that was $100 less, didn't have DRM on it, and they had actual games that people wanted to play. Whereas Microsoft didn't have the games. It was $100 more. They made you get that stupid camera when no one wanted it. And here we are. So I'm saying.
But you also got to understand what I'm saying, Paris. Like, if Sony announces, okay, we have a new Horizon game, Spider-Man or Infamous or for launch, let's just say, right? And they say that, okay, if you want to play your old games, you also have to sign up for PlayStation Now and or whatever. I think people are still going to buy it, man. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but you also got to understand, like, a lot of those brand loyal fans, they didn't really care much about the whole crossplay. They're like, who cares, man? It's PlayStation. They still were supporting that. Like, they don't even care if PlayStation had a crossplay or not, man.
Well, you're always going to have...
It didn't change their mind. But the majority just don't care, man. It's because they care about just PlayStation. They don't care about old games. Xbox doesn't have... They don't have exclusives. Of course, they're going to be adding all these old games a part of their catalog. You also got to understand from that point of view, man, that crowd, they just don't care. They care about the exclusives. Is it more powerful than the Xbox? That's it.
Here's what I'm going to say on that. Right now, there's rough estimates. About 80 million PlayStation 4s out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, estimates. There's about 35 million Xbox Ones out there, right? So let's just say, for argument's sake, let's just round it up to 40. Those 40 million, yes, you have those 40 million people that are brand loyal. That will continue going into the next one. I'm not saying that's not going to happen at all. The people you're fighting for is those other 40 million. That's what I'm saying. So if you don't give them value, they're going to go to the one that does give them value. Look, we know PlayStation's going to have games ready to roll. Horizon Zero Dawn, sequel, all that kind of stuff. Microsoft's going to have things ready to roll 2022. It's not going to be the same as 2013. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is price-wise, has to be competitive. And you have to have the services and features that people want. We are witnessing Microsoft building up their infrastructure to be ready to provide those services and features that people want in 2020. There's no way in hell they're going to overprice their console, and they're going to give you a choice. You can either get whatever Scarlet's going to be, or they're going to have a lower price cloud streaming version as well. What I'm saying is Sony needs to match them on the services side. I will continue to say that until 2020. I'm not talking about specific games. I think there you're going to have a great variety of choices on both sides. Price and services is what it's going to come down to in the next generation on what people decide to spend their money on. People listen to this, us, we are the rarity. We most likely will get them all, right? But it's the people that can only afford to get one, whereas what's the better value? That's all I'm saying. And backwards compatibility will be a big part of that. So if Sony thinks people are going to spend more money to have backwards compatibility, especially for PS4 games, huge mistake. Huge mistake. When I got Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, Last of Us 2, on and on, I want to continue to play those games on the PlayStation 5. There's no way you can tell me I can't carry those forward when Microsoft is going to say, bring everything. We're letting you play everything on the next one. We ain't charging you nothing. And we'll put enhancements on some of those games as well with 4K and all that too. So it's like, that's what I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
I know.
I don't think it's cut and dry as what you're saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is look at a perfect example of Nintendo Switch. People are still buying it. It's just like, yes, there's a small percentage that do care, but no matter what Nintendo releases, people are going to buy the console. That's what I feel with PlayStation. No matter what. Look, a perfect example. You brought up Kinect a few minutes ago. Overpriced and everything, right? I thought it was going to be successful. It was a flop. It was a major, major flop, right? But people still bought the console. I just think that the majority of people that are going to buy these consoles, they're still going to buy it no matter what. No matter what.
Look, PlayStation got to the point where they were outnumbering Xbox 3-1. So not as many people were buying it as you think. That's the point I'm bringing up again. Yes, there will be the hardcore that will buy it. I'm not denying that at all. I am talking about your average consumer that does not have brand loyalty. They look for the best value. That is the majority. That's what I'm sitting here trying to say. I'm not saying people ain't going to buy PlayStation. Of course they are. But again, 80 million versus 35, that number can easily flip in the next generation. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think the most important thing that Microsoft has to do is educate people, especially the casual gamers, the ones that just play once in the blue, right? They have to educate everybody about Game Pass. So I think them doing that now with the Xbox One, once the new version comes out, the new next-gen console comes out, then a lot more people are going to understand about Xbox Live, about Game Pass. And I think that's probably going to change people's minds. Like, oh, man, I could play what? I could play old games? Oh, I'm going to go with this.
I think it will, but not as much as you think. Game Pass is going to be very important for them, I think, for maintaining subscription-based players. But at the end of the day, I think there's going to be a lot more gamers or a lot more consumers who want more in the form of new games. And yes, we've seen Microsoft now with that announcement of the five new studios. They need to produce, though. Are they going to be able to produce day one? Who knows? And if we're talking about the new hardware, I mean, they've got, what, 2 years now that we're thinking before they can release something? Mm-hmm. When the next generation drops, those new studios, they're going to have to deliver. And if those studios don't deliver on par with what we've seen now with Sony, between Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, you got a lot of titles you got to fight up against. You know, the comparisons are going to be hard and they're going to be harsh. So I think it's going to be interesting. Yes, I'm agreeing with you. Game Pass is definitely important for Microsoft. I think it's huge. We've seen the proponents for it. I mean, we've got people that are jumping in and being able to play those titles without having to invest the full monies because of Game Pass. But what else are you going to be able to bring if you don't have those new titles to bolster the inventory of Game Pass and backwards compatibility? You're going to have an issue. And like Paris said, BC is going to be utmost important to the sustainability of PlayStation 5, in my personal opinion. They need to do that because they keep screwing their consumer base by forcing them to go into paying for titles that they already have.
Now, in the voicemail, he also mentioned about PlayStation Experience being canceled. He thinks that they're going to announce a new console in 2019. I think that's a little bit too early, in my opinion. I don't know. I probably think that they're going to wait a little longer.
No need to. And that's part of the reason why I think they're not doing PlayStation Experience this year, because I think 2019 is going to be a somewhat quiet year for PlayStation outside of The Last of Us 2. You know, I mean, yeah, sure, we'll get MLB The Show and we got Days Gone in February, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's probably about it, really. I mean, maybe PlayStation Experience comes back at the end of 2019 and hints towards, at that point, PlayStation 5 coming in 2020
with another cryptic Death Stranding video trailer.
Yeah, because ghosts of Tsushima. Thank you. Is that 2019? Or did they have they not committed to that?
I don't know if they've put a date on that yet.
I don't think they have. So that might be a 2020 game. Hell, that could be a PlayStation 5 game, and we just don't know it yet. We may be seeing it that early. We just don't know. You know what I mean?
Or that's probably might be one of the last PlayStation 4 exclusives. Who knows? That's what I think. I don't see this.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure Last of Us 2 is going to be their big holiday game for 2019. It just makes sense at this point. So I'm not sure where Ghosts will fit in that. And like I said, we know we get Days Gone in February. So it'll be an interesting year for PlayStation. We know Microsoft has pretty much tapped out. We'll get Gears 5 next year, and that's pretty much it. Well, I guess we'll get Forza 8 as well from them next year.
Yeah, I think Danny is right. From what I've seen, Ghost of Tsushima is set to be released for the PlayStation 4. That might be their last exclusive.
Yeah, could be. Very well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know next month is XO. How important is going to be XO for you guys? Not for you guys, for Microsoft.
Depending on what their messaging is going to be for 2019, I think this is what this press conference is. It sets that up. But again, I also think they're establishing it now, so they set the precedent moving forward. Because think about XO in 2020. You know, I know they probably do in 2019, but think about the XO in 2020. That's celebrating the new console launch, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at the timing of it, I mean, that would be around the time we could expect new hardware to drop. So maybe they're just setting everything up. And then like Pete even said earlier, all this stuff goes back to Microsoft is setting up expectations for the future, like with the Game Pass thing. Again, by the time we get to 2020, they launch a new hardware. Now they can say, hey, I buy Scarlett for $400 and for $10 a month, not only do I get all the new games when they come out, look at all these old Xbox One games I get with it. Look at the value I'm getting for $10 a month. That's what they're setting it up for. You know what I mean? Because think about it. By the time we get there, Gears 5 is going to be a part of it. Halo Master Chief Collection. You know, Halo is probably launching with this thing. So the new Halo is a part of Game Pass. Dude, they're setting it up for that. I know I'm getting away from the whole question of XO, but I think it's a part of them just setting up for the future, I think. My opinion.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
They need to set that example of what their end game is, right? We talk about that with the individual titles that are coming out and stuff like that. I think that's a level set and an expectation set for Microsoft, and good luck, cuz they've got an uphill battle to climb. So,
look, if they could announce games this coming out for next gen but don't mention anything about the new console, they just have it like it's coming out soon, whatever, it's part of the Xbox brand. I think that as long there's communication between the day they announce it and E3 and maybe the next XO and so on, instead of just being straight up quiet about it and just showing it once, I think it's fine if they could manage to do that. I think that they might announce some games that is probably going to be available for also for Xbox One. So let's say they have Perfect Dark. Let's just say, yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out for the next gen console, but I think it's also going to be available for Xbox One owners too. You don't see that happening? I think that might happen, in my opinion.
I don't know. Part of me doesn't want to go back into that argument of what? you caping for Microsoft and saying, oh, they can do the early announce, but you know, when Sony does it. I don't want to get back into that. But
okay. But that's not the same. But go ahead. It's not the same.
But I think Games Pass allows that to happen, because why would they announce something for whatever Scarlet is going to be, but not have it available for Xbox One? That's the whole premise of Game Pass, is to allow games to be played regardless of the console and let them continue, especially first party titles. So I don't see them. I don't see that being an issue or being like a hurdle for Microsoft.
Paris, very quick. Before we go to the next voicemail,
I've said all I need to say on it, I think.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we're going to play the next voicemail. All right.
We're going to have a 3-hour show this week. Yeah, well,
I'm the one editing it.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Leo from Las Vegas. Just calling to say thank you. I've been away from home for the past couple months now, and unfortunately due to work, I'm probably going to be away from home and away from my family for a little over a year. So it's been fortunate I've been catching up with podcasts, reading some books and whatnot with you guys, and actually grinding out on Middle Earth. Shadow of Mordor, and I was able to unlock the code that you guys handed out for Shadow of War. Really appreciate it. You know, I'm digging the game, going back and playing through a lot of my backlog. And so I really appreciate that you guys are giving the opportunity for the community to play some of these games that they haven't got their hands on yet. That said, if I could, I want to ask you the question, what is probably the most notorious game in y'all's backlog? I'm sure you guys have a couple that you can name off. If you feel free to share, you know, I'm sure we'd love to hear it. Thanks again, guys, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Leo, for calling in. I'm going to be guilty on this one. Mario Odyssey, I still haven't finished. And Horizon Zero Dawn, I still haven't finished.
I'm surprised about Mario Odyssey because you were playing that nonstop.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for me. Like, I mean, hey. The last year, just 2018 in general, with all the games, 2017. I mean, there's just so many games. It's really, really hard to try to compete in that backlog.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, I think, honestly, I've never finished Origins. I need to finish. I'm really far. Like, I'm close to the end. I just never finished it. So I think I will go back and finish that game. Assassin's Creed Origins. You, Paris?
I've not touched Spider-Man.
I forgot about that. It's true.
I've not touched it. I haven't even seen the title screen. Mm. I can't even tell you what it looks like. I've seen Trey, my son, play it a few times. Like I would just peek in, but I don't. And to Twitter, please don't at me with spoilers about Spider-Man. That is just the rudest thing ever. You don't know what I've played. Like, no, for real. Like, someone literally rolled up in a conversation. I don't even know what we're talking about. And started spoiling Spider-Man. I'm like, wow, thanks. Thanks.
You gotta mute that.
But
another game, too, that I haven't finished is Zelda. That's another game that I haven't.
Oh, you know what? I haven't either. I haven't finished Zelda. Which I'm thinking I got a trip coming up. Yeah, that's gonna be a good time to just play it.
Yep,
outright.
Yeah, game is tough, man. Game is tough. Yeah, it's hard, man. When there's like so many games, man, at the same time out. Oh, it's just tough, yeah. Man.
Here's the thing with that, and we've said it a few times in the past. Look, I don't care what piece of plastic you like playing on. It is an amazing time to be a gamer right now because there's so many choices across so many genres that you can literally jump into and get lost in. Like, it's so funny that, you know, we were talking earlier about Thronebreaker, which is basically the Gwent RPG that's coming out for the Witcher Tales, Thronebreaker. Mm-hmm. That's a 40-hour game in itself. Gwent.
Wow.
There's a 40-hour game, not to mention the multiplayer side of that. I can literally start playing that and just that's all I do. Obviously, I've been playing Destiny so much. I literally have to just put it down and stop playing it because I don't play anything else. And like I said, Odyssey is Witcher size in scope. There's so much to do in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Blackout mode's coming out. Battlefield 5 is coming out. We ain't even talking about that. Fallout 76 is coming out. My God, that's probably a 100-something-hour game. Just in itself, not to mention the monster of them all, Red Dead, which Pete isn't playing until 2020 when the PC version comes out.
Yep.
Which I doubt is going to happen. And then think early February. Oh, Smash Brothers in December. And then think early February. Days Gone, Crackdown 3, Anthem, then the Division 3 3 weeks after that in March. There's something else on Kingdom Hearts 3 is in January. Dude, There's
Jump Force. That's
many,
another one.
Yeah,
Jump
that's Force another one coming. There's so many games dropping, and we're in October now. So October, November, December, Rage January, in the next 5 to 6 months, insane, insane. Yeah, insane. Rage insane. Is. Oh my god, so many.
Oh
games.
My god, wait. Have you mentioned? Wait, no, wait. It's Jump Force. I know there was something else coming out from Namco. Oh, I can't remember now.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, that's
Anthem,
Square.
Division 2.
Metro yeah. Exodus.
Oh, Metro wait. Exodus.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. Blackout. Who? Blackout. We forgot to mention Blackout.
No, I said that.
Well, that comes out in a couple of weeks.
Blackout okay, 4. That's this week.
Sekiro.
People listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sekiro week, comes yeah. out as well. Shadows Die Twice.
Mm-hmm. By the way, they're saying Metro. We were just talking about that Metro game. They say yeah. if you play through that and do everything, you're talking a 60-hour plus game.
Yep.
My God. Help me, God. That's long. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do
you
it.
Can't. You legitimately cannot. You cannot play every game that's coming out. And that's why it's such an amazing time. You have to be. And that's why I get so picky and critical. Again, just to bring this full circle back to the Odyssey thing. This is why I didn't need Odyssey right now. I didn't. There's too much other things to play as it is. You know,
I did not need that game. Reason, yeah.
Yeah. There's
but that's more personal. Yeah.
No, but you get what I'm saying, though. You just dropped one the year before. I didn't need this from you, Ubisoft. You could have put Splinter Cell. You could have slid Splinter Cell right on in here. And then I could be complaining about how I don't have enough time to play Splinter Cell. But the point is, there's a lot of freaking games. And we didn't even talk about Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider's already out. That's another one.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to choose what to play, because the game selection is so good.
Yeah, it is.
Like, damn, what I'm gonna do, man? What which one I should invest 50, 60
oh,
bucks?
Oh, another one. Another one we're not mentioning. Mega Man 11.
Oh my God, that just came out. That yeah, just came out is, literally like a couple days ago.
This is
oh,
my yeah. point. Oh my God. Trust me, because so I'm many. Thinking about getting that one for the Switch, so I have that on there, and it's just like, my God.
Oh,
Starlink.
Yeah.
Oh my God. When that game comes out, Starlink.
Another week? I think it was saying next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah.
Oh my God. Which I know everybody's getting the Switch version.
Yeah, everybody wants the Switch version.
Oh my
October
God.
16th. So next week, yeah.
Yeah, Pete, you literally just threw me for a loop. I forgot about Metro. And Metro, that's I love that series. I have to play. How am I going to play
February,
that?
That's
and
the February Division? 22nd.
How am I playing that in a Division and Anthem and all this other
you have
stuff?
Time. Well,
this.
You have time between February 22nd in and of itself. Crackdown? That, no. Well, we know Crackdown 3 didn't happen.
That's Anthem, Days Gone, and Crackdown.
And yep. Anthem, Crackdown 3, Days Gone, and Metro Exodus. Four monster titles. On well, one day.
Allegedly Crackdown.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, yo, I'm reading here, The Last of Us 2 comes out June 11th of next year.
That's got to be a placeholder. They've not officially said anything.
Yeah, no, I think there is a release date, dude. There is a release date from them.
Has PlayStation said it or is this Amazon? PlayStation's not said it. Trust me, I would be on top of that if they did.
They did say 2019. I just don't know when in 2019, but oh man, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, okay, to be fair, if we're going down this rabbit hole with PlayStation, I know we're running long, probably gonna wrap this up, but you have the precedence of God of War came out in May this year, and then Spider-Man was September. So kind of going back to the whole when is Ghost coming out, you could have Last of Us come out, like you said, around May, June, up in there. And then put out Ghosts in September, October. They could easily do that.
So no Last Stranding, like 2019?
That's not even a game. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I think it's a movie.
Pete, we got to bring it back. Vaporware until I see someone with a controller actually doing something. I don't believe that's a game.
Hey, Skull and Bones from Ubisoft also.
Well, yeah. That's 2020. I don't see that 2019.
I don't know. They haven't finished. I thought it was just 2019. They didn't put a date on it. Oh, I guess so. I don't know. According to Wikipedia, it says here Wikipedia that it's coming out in 2019, but release date like later on in Wikipedia says 2019, 2020.
2020. There's no way in hell that game is coming out. honestly, I think the next game that for Ubisoft that's big is Splinter Cell, man. I'm sticking with that, man.
Watch Dogs 3.
Oh. I don't want
next
that.
Gen. That, I think I see that next gen. I don't see that.
I'm just saying next year would be the time if they're gonna do
it. That's true.
We're gonna, you know, Watch Dogs 3.
Oh my god.
But I want Splinter Cell. Or how about this? Don't give me Splinter Cell next year and put that out as next gen 2020. I'd rather have that. How about that? I don't want Splinter Cell. Don't give me Splinter Cell next year. I don't want it.
Yo,
give it to me 2020.
I forgot us. We haven't even mentioned this game. Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah, the sequel. Yep, that's next year.
Yeah, Will of the Wisps.
It's getting tough, man. Help me, God. Please, somebody hold my hand. Help! All right, we're going to wrap it up here because if not, we'll be here for 3 hours talking about all these games that's coming
out. All the games that are coming out next year, Devil May Cry 5.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Doom Eternal. Keep going.
Yo, you are right. I forgot about that too, man.
Oh my God.
Everybody needs to win the lottery. We all need to win the lottery so we have time to play games.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Also, you could find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to send us voicemails, emails. We're going to read it or play your voicemail here on the show. And that's about it. Until next time. I think we're out. Peace. Oh,
don't forget Control.
Oh, my God. It's killing me. Goodbye. Until next time. Bye.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.